With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. There's cryptocurrency, there's Bitcoin, and then there's the crypto mom. We'll explain who she is in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The cost of renting housing shot up last year, offering residential landlords a respite before another crush of new apartment supply hits the market this year. Rents rose 3.3% in the fourth quarter of 2018. That's 2.5% higher than during the same period in 2017, and the best performance since 2015. The Journal's Real Estate Bureau reports that rent growth is now hovering just above the long-term average of nearly 3%, indicating the market is fairly evenly balanced between landlords and tenants. This year, developers are expected to complete another 319,000 new units. That's up from this year's still aggressive figure of 287,000 units. That's the largest influx of new apartment supply in roughly three decades. And for those buying a house for the first time looking for a loan, one of their first phone calls isn't to Chase or Wells Fargo. It's to mom and dad. A little more than a quarter of mortgage borrowers who used FHA-insured loans got assistance from a relative to make the down payment in the 12 months through September of last year. That's up from about 22% in 2011. Now, though the pace of home price growth has slowed, prices are still consistently rising year over year, and higher mortgage rates are making buying more expensive. But homeowners who get help with their down payments have generally been viewed as riskier because they have sunk less money into their property and thus have less to lose by walking away if home prices drop or if they're laid off from their job. The FHA says that since September 2011, 7.6% of those in which a family member helped with a down payment are now delinquent for 90 days or more. That's above the 5.2% rate for FHA homeowners who did not get assistance, but it's less than the 9.3% rate for those who got assistance from a party besides a relative or the government. Cryptocurrency investors face a lot of heat and frustration, precipitous declines in currency values, a lack of broad government oversight, and a fuzzy crystal ball when it comes to the future of crypto startups and currencies. But they do have a crypto mom. Who is the crypto mom? Well, Wall Street Journal financial regulation reporter Dave Michaels is on the line with us with some details. So Dave, just help us understand who Hester Peirce is. She is known by some as the crypto mom. She sits on the Securities and Exchange Commission, and she's a Republican?
That's right. She is a relatively new SEC commissioner who got this nickname, crypto mom, shortly after she was the only SEC commissioner to support what would have been an exchange-traded fund tracking the price of Bitcoin that was offered or at least conceived of as a investment product by the Winklevoss brothers, earlier of Facebook fame. And the SEC rejected the idea of this ETF, but Commissioner Peirce was the only commissioner who said that it should have been allowed to be marketed and sold, and she issued a very long dissent explaining why she thought the SEC got it wrong, and this happened back in the summer. It really got portions of the crypto market really jazzed about her reasoning and the potential for her sort of advocacy for their point of view at this regulatory agency.
Yeah, I would imagine they're very excited. Bitcoin enthusiasts trying to launch funds that would bring the cryptocurrency to small investors have been rejected at least 10 times by the SEC. And many of the big banks also don't want to dip their toes into the crypto waters at all. But to hear that they've got some support on the inside, I think your word jazzed seems appropriate.
That's the status that she's gotten, this status within the market, which is, I mean, that's a fairly amorphous term. I realize there are lots of different types of investors and participants in this, in the crypto market, from, you know, from just the pure Bitcoin sort of traders and speculators to those that are, you know, deeper into the blockchain ecosystem. But sort of across the board, they view her as a commissioner who gets it, who's willing to be more tolerant of innovation and some of the sort of eggs that they're breaking as they try to figure out how to adapt this new technology to financial markets.
Now, she's also run into some trouble with the way that she has interacted with some of the SEC's enforcement attorneys, just in terms of maybe not having the softest approach to bedside manner.
Yeah, it's no mistake that she's the only commissioner who has been sort of, as she put it in the story, in a quote we got from her, she said she thinks it's okay to hold the hand of these crypto entrepreneurs. It's no mistake she's the commissioner who says that. She's also the commissioner who pushes back most often when against the enforcement division of the SEC when she thinks their cases sort of go too far punishing public companies or individual executives. And she has said some things behind closed doors that were perceived basically as denigrating the work of the enforcement division. She was too tough in sort of raking them over the coals about the case that they were bringing. And in some cases, she's, from our reporting, we've learned she had to later apologize for some of the things that she said to them.
And she also has quite a background in taking sides in economic policies. She's criticized the Dodd-Frank law, for example, pretty vociferously in position papers and things that she's issued.
She's relatively unique as a commissioner. Commissioners come from all walks of life. Some of them are real specialists. They've practiced securities laws, working on deals or working for stock exchanges or for money managers. She is more of a creature of Washington, even though she has worked at the SEC as a staff member very early in her career. She worked on Capitol Hill. She is a Republican. She's written widely and broadly on the congressional response to the financial crisis. And her views are they're so on point for Republicans who think that the response was wrong that some of her writings are viewed by Republicans as sort of the tome for how Washington got it wrong in 2008.
And in your story in the Wall Street Journal, you mentioned that the SEC has cracked down in the past year on deals known as initial coin offerings or ICOs, essentially the equivalent of an IPO in the cryptocurrency world. And Hester Peirce has sometimes questioned whether defendants in those processes understood how their sale of tokens might be deemed a security.
She has been more sympathetic to the individuals involved in these deals. She, from what the reporting that we did, she wouldn't get into individual cases with us, but from other sources, they told us she has really questioned whether these individuals who are not, these aren't Wall Street people. They didn't grow up as regulated stockbrokers. She's questioned whether they really understood how the law or the rules applied to what they were doing. And so I don't know that I wouldn't say she's pro ICO. I think she wants these deals to be done legally and in a regulated fashion. But, she's more tolerant of mistakes that these entrepreneurs make as long as they're not ripping people off.
And so that really does play to the thought that, we've seen a precipitous drop in cryptocurrency values, maybe something like 80% for Bitcoin as to where it was a year ago. But this cryptocurrency entity, this cryptocurrency world is moving forward in some form or another. And like you said, a lot of the people involved here are not career investors. They're not career Wall Street people. And maybe someone to hold their hand to learn the lay of the land is something that they need to move forward.
They definitely need engagement with the regulatory agencies, because when this industry launched, it didn't have it. It basically ignored how these traditional financial regulations might apply to what they were doing. So they need gatekeepers that they can approach and rely upon. They need regulators who can give them feedback about what they're doing, because some of these projects are extremely complicated and don't sound at all like your traditional stock or bond sale. The question with Commissioner Peirce is, what is her influence? She's one of five commissioners, and she doesn't set the agenda. She's there fighting, here and there, maybe helping them out at the margins. As long as she's a commissioner, she won't dictate the policy. But, who knows? The 2 or 3 years down the line, it sort of depends who's in the White House. She could be in a position of more prominence. The Republicans like her. Who knows? She could be chairman someday. I wouldn't place any bets on that. It's very hard to predict who becomes chairman in the future. But she has a lot of fans, and you could imagine in the future, if there was a vacancy in that office, there probably would be some Republicans pushing to see her put into it.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Dave Michaels joining us on the line from our Washington bureau. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.